strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plan of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart is glad in him, because we trust his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us as we hope in you. Amen. So this psalm's encouraging on a number of levels, and we're not going to, I feel like this could take a lot of study, and you could probably preach multiple sermons on a psalm like this. But just to reflect on some of the things we've read, this call to praise, shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. It is fitting. It is normal and fitting for praise to come out of the mouths of the upright. We see a call to give thanks to the Lord. Use instruments to express praise and thanksgiving. Sing to him a new song, this idea of having refreshed reasons, having refreshed views of God's grace to sing before God, having a refreshed view of God. Why? Why do we do that? Because the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. And he loves the righteous, and he loves justice. And the earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. Now, you know, in context of current events, I mean, it would do us well to meditate on these words. And when you think about looking at headlines or looking at news or looking at kind of falling prey to meditating on implications of precedents being set in our society and decision making, this is the resounding yeah, but to all those things, to all those worries. The earth is still full of the steadfast love of the Lord, and it's steadfast, and it's towards us, and he's on our side, because by the grace of God, we are counted as righteous through Jesus Christ. So this is not just something we like hope for. This is something that is, regardless of how we feel about it. God's love is steadfast through all these things. And it's by the same word of the Lord that the heavens were made. And he puts the deep in storehouses. You see this grand kind of way of describing his creation, the way he created. Excuse me. And let's call it, all the earth fear the Lord. So again, let's not fear the rulers. Let's fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, because for he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. It reminded me of Hebrews 1:3, which I just, this is one of my favorite verses, talking about, let's see if I can read, I'll just read the context. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke in our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he spoke to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. It's talking about Christ. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. So there's another one where it's like, hey, John, aren't you worried about the current events? And yes, you know, I fall prey to it. I already told you that. It's not like I don't. But the answer is, you know, whenever we just like take our worries and read this on top of those worries and like attack our fears with this truth. What about Jesus Christ, who's the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power? What do you think of that? Like, if we really listen to that and let that sink in, then, you know, our contention, if there is one, is with God, and we have to reconcile that before him. Again, that doesn't mean we throw our hands up and say, well, there's nothing that can be done. God gives me no means. He's sovereign. Goodbye. I'm going to pray in my closet. He may give you means to do something, but the praying in the closet may be the thing you do, or just meditating on this truth may be the thing you do that is active and the best thing you can possibly do. So anyway, it was very encouraging to me. And then, you know, he talks about nations. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the people. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. So the nation's plans can be brought to nothing, but not God's plans. God's counsel stands forever, all generations, not like 10, multiple, all generations. It lasts forever. And the nation whose God is the Lord is blessed. And the people he has chosen to be his heritage. But then it gets down to an individual level. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man from where he sits enthroned. So he sees all. He sees all the good and the bad, the decision makers, and the people who are just experiencing the ramifications of decisions, if you will. He looks down and he, let's see here, where am I? He sits enthroned. He looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. So he sees these things. And we can rest assured he sees these things. And nobody's getting away with anything when they're making these, if they're making bad decisions that you don't agree with or you think it's sin, or they're not getting away with it. He sees these things. So the individual level, he's talking about nations, and he gets down and it says the one who fashioned all the hearts of every individual, he's looking at their deeds down to the deed level. In my line of work, we talk about levels of granularity. I work with data. So you talk about rolling data up to, like, for example, the state level, the regional level, the branch level, the patient level, the, you know, patient visit level, it just goes lower and lower. So the more granular, the more specific detail. And you see this in here, nation level, God directing that. And then it's like the individual heart level and the deed of the heart. God sees all that. And so we can rest assured that he not only sees that, but his word is steadfast and he is directing all this. So the king is not saved by his great army. Again, we see this. God's controlling all this. It's very beneficial for a king to have a great army. But if God is not In it, the army will not prevail. If God is not in the battle, the king will not be saved by that army, nor the warrior be delivered by his great strength. I mean, synonymous with a warrior is the great strength, and that is not what will save him. God has to be in that. Nor the war horse, this great asset of a warrior, perhaps. That's not the hope of his salvation. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him. So in spite of what we're seeing, we fear God rather than man. And on those who hope in God's steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, protection, right? For our heart is glad in him, because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. So I brought up a specific trial, right? Fearing things happening around us and politics and decision-making. The psalm is not confined to that. There's a wisdom application that I took from it and was encouraged by. But this idea that the word of the Lord is steadfast, immovable, lasting to all generations. There is, believers can take great refuge and comfort in that and meditating on that truth. So I encourage you to go read through that psalm a few times, meditate on it. It's been an encouragement to me. And this is the God we are praying to. Again, redirecting, kind of transitioning to prayer time. What I always need when I pray, especially corporate prayer, is to have the right mind set about God and remember who he is and what he's like, so that prayer can be more purposeful and I'm not having to battle remembering those things. It's just reminders of God's character, that he is with the righteous, he is for the righteous, and he is good, and his word endures, and the things he does are permanent, in spite of what we may see. He's not in control in some separate way. He's in control down to the individual level and down to the deed of the individual. So he's not missing a beat. When things like this that seem beyond your control, that seem to be happening against God's will, they're not. He's in control of them all. He's sovereign over them all, and he's very detailed in that sovereignty. So thankful for that. So with that in mind, this God who is able to answer our prayers, who we're able to freely come before his throne of grace, with boldness, as the Bible says. What can we do? What burdens can we cast on the Lord this morning, knowing that he is this way, knowing that his word endures? I'll open it up. If anyone has anything to share, we can pray about.
Anybody have anything for request?
Yes, brother. I have an update on John. He called me last night at 2 in the morning to tell me that I don't know if he's having an illusion or what, but he says they're not feeding me away. They're not giving me they didn't give me my lunch. They didn't give me my breakfast nor my supper. And he wanted me to call up there today and find out what was going on, but he was a lot more alert than I thought he would be. And he said, yeah, that's because I'm mad. And so keep him in prayer. I mean, he's in his last days. He can't get out of bed. I mean, you were there the other day, Mark. You saw him through the window. So yeah, he thinks he's getting better and he's going to come home. So I know that he is doing some sort of daydreaming about things, but you know, be in that condition. He's on strong medicine now, painkiller, I believe. So I just bring that before the church for his soul.
Is it still the case that only you, Brother Mark, and Jack can visit him right now? Or is it different now that he's in a different facility?
I'm really not sure. John, we went there the other day. He was gifting his car to my son-in-law. And so I was there with a notary. Jack was there part of the time. And we conversed with him through a window there at the nursing home. And pretty alert. And at the same time, I was trying to get, I guess, the administrator lady or whatever. She was kind of busy. But I'm going to try and go back this week and just see if I can visit with him. You know, I'll play the reverend card, which, you know, they'll let me sometimes come in, be part of the healthcare team, you know, reverend, and see him. He wanted a Bible. We brought him a Bible with his glasses and things of that sort. But I really didn't get a yes or a no, so I'm kind of waiting. But I'm sure he can see somebody, even if it's just outside through the window.
Yeah,
we did that the other day, so you know, I'll take that. I have to, but okay. Pray for that. You know, kind of want to see that come to fruition sooner than later. So, but good prayer request for John. Anybody else? I'm up here by the computer, John. Just kind of let you know, because sometimes when people talk, you might not be able to hear it from way in the back of the room.
Yeah, so that's great.
I'm going to repeat it for him, so it's easier to catch it for those who are in Zoom land. So. Any other prayer requests?
Lost loved ones. Maybe the fear will direct them in that direction.
Makes sense. I think it's a good prayer request just from Psalm 33. We pray for our nation. Verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. I mean, the word blessed basically means privileged. So we're privileged. And we don't shrink from that. And we don't run from it. We're not embarrassed by it, because behind the blessing is the God who gives the blessing. So to be embarrassed about that is to be embarrassed about the God who gives that blessing. And we're not going to be embarrassed about our God. And so it's just, he tells you off the bat, tells you that here, and tells you that in Psalm 144:15, that the nation whose God is the Lord is blessed. And anything that trickles from that is going to be less blessed, less privileged, more underneath a curse and underneath the wrath of God. It's just that simple. It's not hard. It's true for individuals, true for families, it's true for nations. And so prayer request, not to sort of piggyback on John's sermon, I mean, it's pretty simple here. I mean, it's like, wow, look how great God is. And so prayer request for today is to kind of mimic what the psalmist is saying here, that we would, like verse 22, let thy loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us. And part of that is to take away any kind of fear of man, fear of kings and politicians, or threats of this, that, or rumors of war, like it says in Matthew 24. We're not going to live by that. That should not affect our countenance and in our line of duty, what we're called to do, think, and say. We'll just go forward with what we're called to do and think and say. So that's a good prayer request for us in this day and hour, because everything is about this. So anybody else?
Can y'all continue to lift up Frank's mom? She's having problems again. In fact, he may not be able to make it. I mean, he may have to go. He's going to go see her and try to help her. So,
anything we can do, Lauren, for that, to help you guys out with her? I mean, I don't know. Y'all would know better than us. So,
just pray. You know, she's now, it's not a UTI. We don't think he's going to take her temperature again, but it's her blood pressure. And we've been very thankful. Lindsay's been able to go over and help her a couple days. So that's a blessing. But yeah, just pray. Thank you.
Okay.
Anybody else before we pray about these things? Well, why don't we go ahead and go before the Lord. I can open us up in prayer. And Josh, if you're available, would you be able to close us out?
He said yes.
Great, thank you. Let's pray. Dear God, again, we are so thankful for your word, Lord. Lord, praise is fitting for us, your people. And we pray that you would fill our hearts with praise, that our hearts would overflow from just truly recognizing and internalizing and understanding this truth of your word, Lord, that your word is steadfast and that your benefits are towards us, your people, Father, that you have called us to you, Lord. Lord, would you help us to praise your name, Lord, not just through song on Sunday, Father, but throughout every day, Father, through the way we come to you, Father, with our needs, Father, would that be an opportunity to praise you, Lord, for cool wind in our hair, or, Father, the graces, Father, that you give us common and precise for us, Father, answers to prayer, that we would praise you, Lord, that we would praise you for hardships, Lord, knowing that they are tools that you've crafted to sanctify us and make us more like your Son, that we could recognize that early, Father. Lord, we pray for the needs that were brought up this morning, Father. I want to lift up our brother John, our who we want to be our brother, Father. We ask that you would save him first and foremost, Lord. We are burdened for him, and we know that his greatest need is to truly know you, Father, and to know you in a saving way, Father, that he would repent of his sins and turn away from them, Lord, even now, and that you would intervene, Lord, where he is, meet him where he is. You who fashioned his heart, Lord, and we would praise you all the more for drawing him to you and regenerating him, Lord. We ask that this morning, united, Lord, all agreeing that this would be good and glorifying to you, Father. We beg you, and for Christ's sake, Lord, to save this man's soul and draw him to you. And Lord, give us wisdom to know what to do, especially in this environment, how to minister to him, to that end and to any other end, Father. Give us knowledge when we need it to know how to react and to provide for his needs, Lord, here where he is. Lord, and broader, we pray for those who we love that don't know you, that you would do the same, Father, that you would help us to bear one another's burdens, Lord. Help us to feel the burden of our own lost loved ones and the lost loved ones of others in our midst, in our congregation. Lord, these chronic requests that come up every week, Father, for people who see those that they love walking further and further from you, Lord. And we just ask that you would intervene, Lord. And the request is that, Father, you would help us to have a greater burden and a greater clarity about how to do the work of lifting them up to you, Father, but also that you would intervene swiftly in spite of, Lord, in spite of not praying for them enough, Father, individually, Lord, that your grace would be greater than that, Lord, that you would just, for your good pleasure, save souls, Lord, and encourage us with that. Lord, we lift up this morning, Lord, so many opportunities for distraction, Lord, and we ask that you would prevent that, that you would be with our ears, that you would be with, Lord, our mouths to sing praise to you, that you would be with Brother Mark as he seeks to preach, Lord, give him boldness and clarity and strength, grace, Lord. Lord, we look to you and we ask that you would go before us today and order our steps, Lord. Again, we thank you for all that you are to us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, I just echo the prayers of my brother John. Thank you so much for the devotion that your spirit gave him the words of this morning, for the blessing that it is to us, even though he's in a different place than most of the rest of us that are gathered here right now, Lord. We praise you, Lord, that your spirit knows no bounds, that you are not defined by location or geography, but Lord, even though we're geographically scattered, it's actually the reality of your bride. Every week, Lord, we're scattered across the face of the earth, and yet we come together with one spirit, with one aim, with one glory in mind, and on our tongues and in our hearts, and that is your glory, and to know and to glorify you. I also lift up John Poltrock, who has been attending the church for quite some time, Lord, and he's heard the wisdom and the truth and the depth and the beauty and the grace and the mercy. All the things that we could go on and on and on and on describing about the wonders of your word, the eternality of your message, Lord. I pray, Lord, that there would be a rich and abundant and eternal fruit that would come from that right now, Lord. I pray that as he sits in this home in what are likely some of his last days, Lord, that your spirit would meet with him and commune with him and would minister to him and would call to light the truths that he's heard, that your spirit would illuminate the words of Scripture. Things he may never have even heard, that he may not even understand, Lord, but we pray that you would build a childlike faith in him, and it would be a saving faith. Pray, Lord, that all the rest of us who are here, we're gathered together, even if we're ill, that we may not take for granted that we think we may have all the time in the world to do whatever we want or to pursue all of our own aims, Lord, but that we would have an eye toward the here and the now, being bound by time, but also simultaneously, Lord, that we are, if we are truly a believer, we are already enjoying the wonderful fruits of eternity. Pray, Lord, that that message would be a burden to us only in that it would be a burden for others, Lord, that we would feel the pressure of that time, the pressure of the crunch to share it as widely and as freely as possible, that we would be burdened for other people's souls, that we would be burdened for people's growth and sanctification, not just their salvation, Lord, and just leave them to enjoy the milk of the word, but that we would teach them the meat of the word as well, Lord. Pray that everyone in this room would, and everyone in this call would have that burden and have that desire. Your spirit would give us a passion for that, Lord. We would realize the sphere of influence you've put us in, that you would put faces and hearts, even right now, before us, Lord, that we would have a desire to minister and love those people. We thank you, Lord, so much that we have the opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Supper today. It's been a very weird time over the last several months when we have not been able to do that, and we thank you for that remembrance and that opportunity to partake of that today, Lord. Pray that you would bless all of the worship that is sung, all of the words that are spoken, all of the intents of our hearts and all of our desires, Lord, that they would all be aimed chiefly at your glory, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to meet together. We just lift all this up in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we're going to take a 5-minute break.